Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. My name is Sean, and today I want to talk about what is going on with this Fonnie Willis situation, the Fulton County District Attorney that is currently pursuing criminal charges against Donald J. Trump and 19 other co-defendants in a RICO case, a unique prosecution under the RICO statute, in order to secure a conviction against the former president for allegedly trying to overturn the will of the people in the state of Georgia in a criminal manner. Now, we're going to get into this. But before we do, I want to say thank you to everybody who signed up on actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Okay.
And thank you to the podcast listeners, Spotify, Apple, and Google's podcasting platform. So first things first, if you guys are unaware of what is inspiring this particular criminal prosecution, there was a phone call between then President Trump and I believe the Georgia Secretary of State or somebody in charge of elections to a certain degree related to Trump alleging that there were fraudulent ballots. There's a quote that is rather unfortunate where he says he wants them to find votes.
So look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state, and flipping the state is a great testament to our country, because, you know, and there's just it's a testament that they can admit to a mistake or whatever you want to call it, if it was a mistake, I don't know.
And all of that, and basically what was being put forward, since Fulton County was mentioned multiple different times during the course of this phone call.
I think it's pretty clear that we won. We won very substantially, Georgia. We have at least two or three, anywhere from 250 to 300,000 ballots were dropped mysteriously into the rolls. Much of that had to do with Fulton County. Which hasn't been checked. We think that if you check the signatures, a real check of the signatures going back in Fulton County, you'll find at least a couple of 100,000 of forged signatures.
Was that Trump was trying to overturn this election in a criminal way? This was not a normal, ordinary legal challenge. He was trying to solicit an official to commit a crime. And that is the undergirding situation revolving around this particular prosecution.
Today, based on information developed by that investigation, a Fulton County grand jury returned a true bill of indictment, charging 19 individuals with violations of Georgia law arising from a criminal conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in this state. The indictment includes 41 felony counts and is 97 pages long. Please remember that everyone charged in this bill of indictment is presumed innocent. Specifically, the indictment brings felony charges against Donald John Trump.
Now look, this video is not about the specifics in terms of guilt or innocence related to that particular case. What you need to know is that Fonnie Willis, the district attorney for Fulton County, which is the county that covers Atlanta, Georgia, decided that she was going to charge Trump in this big thing. You guys might remember his mugshot related to this situation and all that, but she decided that she was going to use a unique form of prosecution, a RICO prosecution, which by the way, she kind of did a beta test of a previous case before this, and RICO prosecutions, due to the fact that there is a large number of defendants, often require the hiring of special counselors. And this is where things get absolutely crucial, because one of the special prosecutors that Fani Willis ended up hiring was a man called Nathan Wade. Now, Nathan Wade is somebody who has a wealth of experience prosecuting felonies and RICO cases. Just kidding. Nathan Wade was a traffic attorney and a family court attorney. He's never prosecuted a felony, at least as far as anybody could tell. So obviously, this was a very curious hiring, considering the fact that this is the biggest case in Fani Willis's career. And honestly, a prosecution of a former president of the United States is one of the biggest cases in the entire country. So this began to beg the question, why was Nathan Wade hired by Fani Willis? And why is he getting paid a higher hourly rate for his services than the other attorneys who actually do have experience? And why is he billing so much in terms of hours on this particular case, to the point where he's pulled in $650,000 in billed hours on this RICO prosecution? Again, the guy with the least amount of experience, can't even show us that he prosecuted a felony, is billing more than every other attorney. Now, the answer to that question in a lot of people's minds is pretty straightforward. It is quite simple, because Nathan Wade, the day after that he got this job, he was appointed to this position by Fani Willis, filed for divorce from his wife. And it turns out, as we discovered over time, Nathan Wade is actually sleeping with Fani Willis. So she ended up giving this job to her boyfriend, or that's what's being alleged, because she claims that she hired this completely unqualified person and he just happened to be separating from his wife and he just happened to end up dating her. And that just was not something that she could have foresaw happening, but it was spontaneous and beautiful and loving and all that. But in reality, on its surface, it looks like they were dating before. And by the way, there is some testimony to back that up, because we have a former roommate of Fani Willis who testified that they were dating all the way back in 2019. So this looks like she gave this job to her boyfriend, paid him a higher rate, even though he was unqualified for it, and allowed him to bill hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So you know that their relationship, their personal relationship, began shortly after this municipal court conference.
Yes.
And when I say personal, romantic. I just want to make sure we don't get in an argument over what personal and romantic is later. When I ask you personal, do you take that to mean romantic?
Yes.
Okay. And do you understand it that their relationship began in 2019 and continued until the last time you spoke with her?
Yes.
And you were essentially her best friend during this time, right?
Not best friend, good friend.
Good friend, okay, close friend. And so would you frequently socialize with her?
Yes.
Okay. And you saw her at work every day?
Yes.
So you had a chance to see them interact together on a personal level?
Yes.
And so from everything that you saw, heard, witnessed, it's your understanding that they were in a romantic relationship beginning in 2019?
Yes.
Now, as of right now, with the information that I just told you guys out there in the audience, this appears to be incredibly scandalous and quite suspicious. But it's actually a lot worse than a lot of people, especially on the left wing, are reporting, because one of Trump's co-defendants filed paperwork with the court, and the point of that paperwork filing was not just to out the inappropriate relationship between Fani Willis and Nathan Wade. It was actually to draw attention to the fact that Fani Willis is now directly profiting off of the excesses paid to Nathan Wade, and thus she is profiting off of this RICO case. And the reason that's such a problem is because this is, again, a unique application of the RICO statute, and she's overpaying this guy, specifically him, more than any other attorney, and they're taking all of these high-end fancy vacations together that presumably he is spending the money for those vacations from the money that he's receiving, the excess money that he's receiving, based based on the appointment from one Fani Willis. And this spells absolute disaster for this particular Trump prosecution, because essentially the argument that can be made is that the reason they're deciding to go down this path, the reason they're deciding to pursue this prosecution, is so that the prosecutor can inappropriately benefit financially from this. And that actually cuts to the heart of the legitimacy of the case, even if that was not the actual intention of Fani Willis at the time that she made this appointment. She could have thought that she had a solid case, but she wanted to hook up her man, not realizing the implications of this. But it doesn't matter, because once this is fully adjudicated, once this is fully revealed, it will result in not only Fani Willis having to recuse herself from the case, but the entire Fulton County District Attorney's Office recusing themselves from the case.
Now, the key dynamic at work around this is that if Fani Willis is disqualified, fairly or unfairly, her whole office, the whole district attorney's office, is disqualified from working on that case, which would mean, in all likelihood, that whole case would go away.
And considering Georgia is largely a red state, at least in terms of statewide politics, it is unlikely that another prosecutor's office will pick up this case. So essentially, this Georgia case that the left has been raving about, the one where they're finally going to get Trump, might fall apart in large part due to this. And honestly, deservedly so, because Fani Willis is lying. She's perjuring herself, in my opinion. And yes, this is corruption. Now look, so far, I explained to you what is being alleged against Fani Willis and what the potential consequences are for that. And of course, I talked about how it is very likely, in my opinion, that this is actually true and it will have disastrous implications. But guess what? Fani Willis is a black woman. So in reality, in actuality, according to her, anyone pointing this out, anyone showing these obvious red flags related to her office and her actions, is actually an evil white racist. And she went to a black church to accuse people of attacking her just for being a black woman because of their evil white racism.
Why does Commissioner Thorne and so many others question my decision in a special counsel? Lord, your flawed, hard-headed, and imperfect child, I'm a little confused. I appointed three special counsel as is my right to do, paid them all the same hourly rate. They only attacked one. I hired one white woman, a good personal friend and great lawyer. A superstar, I tell you. I hired one white man, brilliant, my friend, and a great lawyer. And I hired one black man, another superstar, a great friend, and a great lawyer. Oh, Lord, they gonna be mad when I call them out on this nonsense. First thing they say, oh, she gonna play the race card now. But no, God, isn't it them who's playing the race card when they only question one? Isn't it them playing the race card when they constantly think I need someone from some other jurisdiction in some other state to tell me how to do a job I've been doing almost 30 years?
Isn't it amazing how that works? We have the Tiffany A. Haynard story over in Dalton, Illinois, where she's stealing all this money from the taxpayers. And it turns out in that particular story, the issue is that she's a strong black woman and you're racist for pointing it out.
Y'all should be ashamed of y'allself. Y'all black. Y'all are black. And y'all sitting up here beating and attacking on a black woman that's in power. Y'all should be ashamed of y'allself.
We have the Marilyn Mosby story, one of the original Black Lives Matter district attorneys that actually committed a fraudulent withdrawal from her retirement, saying that she had a COVID-19 hardship when she just wanted to buy rental properties. And that is due to evil white racism because she's a strong black woman. I mean, seriously, how pathetic is this? You have all these different political officials. They're doing absurd things, dumb things, corrupt things, borderline illegal things, sometimes illegal things. And their go-to answer over and over and over again is to hide behind their identity group in order to shield themselves from all criticism, because that's what got them to the position where they're at to this very day. But the thing is, for Fani Willis, this is even more absurd and stupid, because all she would have to do is say, hey, look, this is a right-wing attack from the evil Orange Man supporters because it's a high-profile case and all that. But the thing is, she can't even get past her own race and sex enough to make that argument rather than this absurd one that you can do corruption, funnel money to yourself through your boyfriend that you never told anybody you were dating, go on all these lavish trips because you're a strong black woman who can do whatever she wants when she's in a position of power, even if that is illegal, and it will actually result in the nerfing of your case. But the thing is, the story got even better because they actually had to have a hearing on this. They actually had to question Fannie Willis related to this, and her answers were pathetic and absurd. And one of the things that she has to make up an excuse for is why this guy, with all this money that he's getting from this specific case, was paying for all these different vacations where she was personally benefiting from out of pocket, and there's no record of her paying him back because she is alleging that she paid him back.
Mister, let's go on and have the conversation.
I'm just asking you whether or not it was a coincidence.
Had absolutely nothing to do with this. It's interesting that we're here about this money. Mr. Wade is used to women that, as he told me one time, the only thing a woman can do for him is make him a sandwich. We would have brutal arguments about the fact that I am your equal. I don't need anything from a man. A man is not a plan. A man is a companion. And so there was tension always in our relationship, which is why I would give him his money back. I don't need anybody to foot my bills. The only man who's ever foot my bills completely is my daddy.
Again, these people can never stop victimizing themselves. She makes the claim that Nathan Wade, the guy that she totally, definitely, 100% was not sleeping with, even though she hired him on the biggest case in her career and one of the biggest cases in American history without any felony prosecution experience, told her that he doesn't need anything from a woman but a sandwich, but then she was still dating him. By the way, for some reason, that was acceptable to the strong, independent woman, but she was also proving him wrong by paying him in cash for all of the expenses to show that she contributes financially and she's not going to take that nonsense from him, except for the fact that she's taking that nonsense from him and then giving him money, even though he says these over-the-top internet troll level sexist things to her. Ridiculous, absurd, reads incredibly hollow and incredibly untrue. But if she's saying that she's paying this guy back and she's not profiting off of this particular case, we should expect to see some receipts to that effect. But the problem is, she has no receipts, no records of that. And she says she paid him in cash.
And then after that cruise, you all flew to Aruba and spent a couple days in a hotel there, correct?
Right. And his mother was not happy.
He initially paid for that.
For Aruba. Yes, ma'am.
So let's talk about both of those. I know he initially paid for it. Did you pay him back?
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
For the cruise and for Aruba. Yeah, I gave him his money before we ever went on that trip.
You gave him cash before you ever went on the trip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you got cash to pay him back on these trips, would you go to the ATM?
No, lady.
You would not go to the ATM?
No.
Okay. So Fulton County pays you direct deposit, I assume?
Yes, Fulton County and the state of Georgia both pay me direct deposits.
Okay. So the cash that you would pay him, you wouldn't get it out of the bank?
I have money in my house.
You have money in your house. So it was just money that was there?
When you meet my father. He's going to tell you as a woman, you should always have, which I don't have, so let's don't tell him that. You should have at least 6 months in cash at your house at all time. Now, I don't know why this old black man feels like that, but he does. When we were growing up, my daddy had 3 safes in the house.
So I'm listening to this thing right here where Fannie Willis is saying that she is told by her father to always have 6 months worth of cash in the house. Now, you will hear from any financial advisor that you should keep 6 months worth of expenses, save 10% a year every year for 6 years, and that's how you get it in order to protect yourself from an emergency. But 6 months worth of cash in your house as a woman, this is ridiculous and absurd. Now, she keeps saying that this is a black thing, this is something that black people do. I don't know if this is true, and by I don't know if this is true, I mean I think this is insanely false, but if it is true, you definitely should not do it. The idea that you should think about having 6 months worth of cash in your house in a lockbox is essentially inviting a burglary. In fact, Asians are often victimized by criminals due to the fact that they don't believe in banks as often culturally, so they often have a lot of cash on them. This is a known stereotype, and this is one of the reasons why Asians are subject to so many robberies. Also, I will take note of the fact that when she's talking about this, she ends up covering her mouth. Now, I'm not a body language expert, and I know body language is not a pure, hard science, but this looks like a tell, like she's lying.
So my father's bought me a lockbox, and I always keep cash in the house. Now, I don't do it to the degree that my father would do it, so he would probably be ashamed with me, but I always have cash at the house. That has been, I don't know, all my life. If you're a woman and you go on a date with a man, you better have $200 in your pocket. So if that man acts up, you can go where you want to go. So I keep cash in my house, and I don't keep cash as good in my purse like I used to. I don't go on many dates, but when you go on a date, you should have cash in your pocket.
So my question was, where did that cash originally come from? If it didn't come out of the bank?
Cash is fungible. I had cash for years in my house. So for me to tell you the source of when it comes from, when you go to Publix and you buy something, you get $50, you throw it in there. Well, it's been my whole life. When I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that.
So what's hilarious about this is that she says cash is fungible, like you don't know the origin point of it. And she even says at one point in time, she actually took out cash from her campaign fund and kept it in her house, which is weird and illegal. And I'm not sure she meant to say that, but okay. I don't believe her in the first place, but if I did, this would be insanely questionable. It's not like you're saving cash for a campaign expense. Seems a bit absurd, seems untruthful.
Like, to tell you, I just have cash in my house. I don't have as much today as I would normally have, but I'm building back up now. So you just put money in. It's a very good practice. I would advise it to all women.
So once again, I am completely and utterly befuddled by this woman, because she just said it's sound advice for any woman to have 6 months worth of cash in their home in a lockbox. No, it isn't. And you know who should know that it isn't? The district attorney of Fulton County, the district attorney that services Atlanta, Georgia. If you have 6 months worth of cash in your place, guess what? If you get robbed, you are out that cash. Even if her father told her that, even if her father genuinely believed that, she, as a district attorney who has dealt with God knows how many robberies, God knows how many failed recoveries of cash being stolen from people, should know better. She should know that that's not good advice specifically for a woman. Again, imagine if you're an armed criminal in Atlanta and it was a real cultural thing that single black mothers who don't have firearms and are not ready to defend themselves had wads and wads of cash in their house. You should not do this. Trust me, it's an absolute disaster.
So you can't identify when you came into this cash or where the cash came from?
I didn't say I couldn't identify it. No, nobody gives me anything. I am sure that the source of the money is always the work, sweat, and tears of me. What you asked me for is, when did the money go in there? What I am trying to tell you is, so I got divorced in 2005 from my husband.
No.
It's important. You said, where did the money come from? And I need to tell you where the money came from. And so for many, many years, I have kept money in my house. That money in my worst days has probably only been $500 or $1,000. At my best days, I probably had $15,000 in my house at cash. At all times, there's going to be cash in my house. Or whatever I'm laying my head.
Again, I love the fact that she has to victimize herself over and over and over again, talking about how some points in time in her life she had virtually no cash, but her daddy always told her to have cash on or keep cash in the house because you never know when there's an emergency or something like that and you're going to need cash. However, this is just a distraction from the fact that even if you were paying in cash, you should have some kind of receipts, withdrawal slips or something like that, in order to prove the truth of what you're saying.
The money that you paid Mr. Wade, the cash, in October of 2022, you do not know where that money came from.
I do know where it came from. It came from my sweat and tears.
You know which job it came from. Did it come from Fulton County or did it come from a private job?
It came from, what are you talking about? So it could have come from a private job, because before I was DA, I was in private practice. So I earned money during that time period. It's probably in there. It could have, what do you mean I don't know where it came from?
I understand the situation. We can move on.
Okay, thanks. Same with Aruba. You don't know where that cash came from either, right?
Ma'am, you are mischaracterizing my testimony greatly. I'm not going to allow you to mischaracterize my testimony.
I know that I keep money in my house. The amounts of money I gave Mr. Wade, it was never that serious. I don't think I've ever handed him more than $2,500 in a reimbursement. So we're not talking about $20,000 in cash. I don't have $20,000 in cash right now. The most I ever gave him, I know I gave him $2,500 when we went to Belize, because we went to one hotel and then we went to a second hotel. That $2,500 I actually gave him while we were still in Belize. I know that the Aruba trip, the one that you described with his mom, I think I gave him about $2,000 for that trip, for like total.
His mom went to Aruba with you?
The Aruba trip.
Now, since Fannie Willis has no receipts for her cash withdrawals, in order to cover this, she has to claim that the cash is in her house. But there's no record of her drawing out large amounts of cash in order to store in her house. So now she's claiming that when she would go places like Publix, she would ask for cash back, and that would be contributed to the cash that she keeps under her mattress. Now, we should be able to see, by the way, if she's going to the grocery store, what cash back advances that she's been getting over time. And again, as of right now, I've seen no record of that at all whatsoever, and that doesn't make any sense. But remember, there are two parties to this particular transaction. There's Fannie Willis, who's supposedly paying this person back, but there's also Nathan Wade, who's supposedly receiving this money. And if you were getting large sums of cash being handed to you by the Fulton County District Attorney, you would think if you were trying to pay back the cost of these vacations that you would deposit that in the bank. So there actually should be some corresponding deposit slips in association with this. But guess what? We don't have that either. There are no records of these transactions on either end, and that is because he paid for the trips and she did not reimburse him. I don't believe her that she's keeping $50,000 in cash, $10,000 in cash, or whatever under her mattress as the Fulton County District Attorney. It's just not true. It reads incredibly false. It's ridiculous and absurd. She's not Korean. She's not Chinese. She's not Asian, where sometimes they do actually do things like this. And even if she was, even if this was 100% true, which it's not, it's a lie, it's nonsensical, we should still see some records on Nathan Wade's end of him depositing that cash somewhere, because the idea that she would be handing him like stacks and stacks of cash and then he would just be spending that on his day-to-day expenses and never deposit that in a bank when he also has a bank account, it just reads insanely, ridiculously, and absurdly false.
Good morning, Mr.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Counselor.
When your daughter moved or left the house that she owned, did she say anything to you about having a large savings of cash?
Oh, no, she, See, maybe, excuse me, and I, Your Honor, I'm not trying to be racist, okay? But it's a black thing, okay? You know, I was trained, and most black folks, they hide cash or they keep cash. And I train. You always keep some cash.
Now, to make matters even worse, Fannie Willis decided that she was going to rope her own father into this situation, have him testify on her behalf. And her father affirmed her story.
But even before that, I've always kept cash, and I've told my daughter, you keep 6 months worth of cash. Always.
However, the most crucial part of this particular testimony is the fact that he actually heard his daughter's testimony the previous day, violating the rule of sequestration because he was not supposed to be paying attention to the media and whatnot. And in fact, he admitted to being prepped for his testimony with the daughter in the room, getting their story straight. And the thing is about that is that he claims that he was never informed about the rule of sequestration, which if he wasn't and he was a normal person, that would make sense that he watched TV, he listened to the radio and all that. But he's also an attorney, so he should have known, even without being prepped, that he wasn't supposed to listen to that.
And did you talk about any of the testimony from yesterday or watch any news reports or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Luca, you can't cut the TV on without seeing this. The first thing, and I listened to conservative radio a lot, and, last night for 5 hours, and all they talked about was this case.
So you were aware of what the testimony your daughter gave yesterday was?
Yeah. Unless you don't cut the radio on, unless you don't cut the television on, unless you don't read the AJC or any other, the New York Times or whatever, which I do every day, yeah, of course.
So is it fair to say nobody instructed you that you were under the rule of sequestration?
Right, and I'm not under subpoena either.
Thank you.
Now, what makes me laugh about this particular testimony is there's like a moment where they ask him a very simple, very basic question, and he pauses for a really long time to process a lie.
Sir, you seem to know about the issue of cash in this transaction. You said it was a black thing. How did you know that the cash was going to be an issue in this testimony?
Because I was asked for it, and I was prepped by the lawyers, and they asked me about it. What else?
And did you speak with Mr. Wade about your testimony?
No.
Did you speak with your daughter about your testimony?
She may have been present when the lawyers were. I really don't remember.
Which just goes to the fact that he's completely uncredible. He's lying as well. He's now pretending he doesn't know anything about the law in order to cover up for his daughter.
He told everybody in front of Crystal, Deontay, everybody, we're going to get MacBooks. We're going to do that. We're going to get swag. We're going to use it for travel. I said, you cannot do that. It's a very, very specific grant. Took me off. I questioned Junior DA. There's kids in there from out of the county. All this took me off Junior DA. I did not want to do it. He made it look as if I wasn't doing what I needed to do because I questioned him. Because I knew for a fact Mr. Cutfee respectfully did not know what he was doing, period.
So I respect that as your assessment. It was clear to me that you and Mr. Cutfee were not getting along. And I'm not saying that your assessment is wrong. I want you to really listen to the words I'm saying.
Now, to make matters worse for Fani Willis, there is yet another scandal, a recently breaking scandal that has to do with a whistleblower leaking an audio tape of her discussing with Fani Willis that people in the office were talking about abusing federal funds. And it turns out that the person punished for this was the whistleblower.
Cutfee, and this is my personal opinion, to one woman to another, is dangerous to your administration.
So that woman reporting the criminality, that woman alerting Fani Willis to the abuse of federal funds, was fired 2 months later. 2 months after bringing that to the attention of Fani Willis, she's the one who had to go.
The legalese fool you. This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fani Willis lied to the court, it's game over for her. She will be disqualified.
Now, one of the things that I absolutely love about the coverage related to this is the reaction live from the mainstream media as they're covering this versus what they say the next day. Because when you're watching these clips, your initial gut reaction, which is the correct reaction, is that Fani Willis is lying. She just nuked the Trump case in order to pay off her man, in order to profit off of it personally. And we should all condemn this woman for how corrupt she is, no matter what side you're on. Honestly, if you're a Trump supporter, you should love Fani Willis more than anyone because she can't control herself, and that led to her doing this corruption, and that's going to torpedo this case into the very near future, well out of the election, and that's going to be a disaster for the Democrats and all to the good for Donald Trump. Now, the people in the mainstream media are people. They know this. That's why their initial reactions are actually honest and genuine about how disastrous this is and how unbelievable it is. But then you go to the next day and those very same people will tell you that it makes perfect sense, that this is just a black thing. It's totally logical and reasonable. And honestly, you shouldn't question anything because you probably are an evil white racist. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And honestly, it's just amazing to see this all unfold. It's like a parody of the Democratic Party where they just use identity politics to cover up for everything, even though it doesn't actually excuse anything. But hey, those are just my thoughts related to this particular case. I want to know what you guys think down in the comments below. Is Fani Willis just an idiot? Did she just hire somebody with no experience prosecuting a felony, pay him a higher rate, allow him to bill way more hours than every other attorney on accident because she's stupid? Or is she actually an even bigger idiot and she decided that she needed to personally profit off of this case, hire her man, thought that nobody would find out, and then done perjured herself in a court of law, risking her legal license to finish this whole thing off? Let me know all your thoughts down in the comments below. And as usual, if you like the video, show them by leaving a like, subscribe for more content, follow me on my social media, support me via the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about the Fani Willis disaster. Till next time.